Hello everyone, Stuart and Judy here from Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. It's good to have you listening in with us. Just to say that this is the first Sunday of the month and it's our tradition to have communion. So if you'd like to join in that part of the service, then go and get some bread and some wine or liquid equivalent and you can join us in that part of this service. Let's commit this time into God's love and care. Let us pray. Father, we commit this time of worship into your care and keeping, and we pray that your Spirit would speak to us and through this time of worship that we would meet you, that we would encounter you, that you would speak your word to us. We offer you our thanks and our praise. We offer you our ears and our mind that you may speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This week's service is a service on creation care and climate change, and our reading is the first chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water underneath the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. The image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for this creation story from Genesis, and we pray that you would inspire our thoughts and meditations as we reflect upon this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. COP26, the United Nations Climate Change Conference, starts at the end of this month on the 31st of October in Glasgow. And churches have been encouraged to hold a Climate Change Sunday to engage with this urgent issue at this time. So I thought it'd be good to do a short series on creation care and climate change. Our reading is the first chapter of Genesis. Genesis means beginnings. And we have two creation accounts or origin stories in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. I don't think Genesis tells us exactly how the world was created, but it does tell us that there is a creator and that creation is good. Time and time again in this passage, it says, "And God saw that it was good." And at the very end, in verse 31, it says, "God saw that all he had made, and it was very good." So creation is good, very good, and we should look after it and care for it. This passage has its difficulties and its problems. In verse 28, where it says, "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves upon the ground." We get this idea of subduing the earth, but our role is one of dominion or stewardship, not domination or exploitation of the earth. Some people have criticized Christians for their approach to creation and the way that human beings have exploited nature. But a lot of this goes back to the Enlightenment time, when there was a separation of human beings from nature, and nature was seen to be something to be exploited. And this is certainly true during the Industrial Revolution, but also up to the present day, the way that capitalism has exploited the earth and used it to make profit. So there are issues when we engage with this passage, but I don't think Genesis 1 or Genesis 2 is telling us to exploit or to abuse creation. In fact, it says the opposite. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "The Lord took man," or Adam, or human beings, "and put them in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." So the role of human beings in the beginning were to be gardeners who would work the earth and take care of it, not to exploit it, because creation is a gift from God and belongs to God. As the psalmist says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The whole earth belongs to God, and we shouldn't see ourselves as owners who can do with it what we want. When the book of Genesis was written, probably around the 6th century BC, when they were in exile and they were thinking about their identity, they would not have imagined the capacity that we have today to destroy the whole of creation, whether by nuclear war or more slowly by climate change. In that sense, we live in a different world, a different universe, but we still have to be and have a duty to be good gardeners of the planet that has been entrusted to us. How do you feel about the whole issue of climate change? Do you even accept the science of it? I worry for future generations and what state we will hand on the planet to them. This next decade is crucial if we are to stem the tide of rising temperatures. We have seen the fires on our televisions in recent months in the US and Australia and Greece. We have seen the high temperatures rising in parts of Europe up to nearly 50 degrees centigrade. You would need to be blind not to see the evidence that is before us on our TV screens of the consequences of climate change induced by human beings. It would be easy to surrender in despair and say, like Private Fraser in Dad's Army, "We're all doomed." But is that the right approach? Ultimately, God has a purpose for us and for the whole of creation, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But does that mean we shouldn't care about the creation here and now? We may or may not be able to limit the temperature rises to 1.5 centigrade, which is the target for the COP conference. But surely we need to try and give it a go. It is easy to feel powerless in the face of climate change, but there are things we can do to make a difference. First of all, we can pray. We can pray for the COP26 conference that the political leaders there will make the necessary promises and keep them and implement them as best they can. We can put pressure on our own government, which talks a good talk, but is behind in its own targets. We can write to our MP to express our concern about climate change, because they don't know that we care about it unless we tell them. And if they receive lots of letters and emails and messages about an issue, they pass that on to the ministers concerned to put pressure on them. There are lots of ways we can personally make changes in our lifestyles. Drive less, walk or cycle more if we can. The petrol shortage raises this as an existential issue for us at present and asks us about our own consumption of petrol and fossil fuels at this time. We could fly less. How often do we need to go abroad on holiday? And when we replace our cars, we can think about getting hybrid versions or electric versions. Or we could change our energy suppliers to a greener one that uses renewables. The list could go on and on and on, and I could say various other things. But what matters ultimately is, how do we view God's creation? As a disposable commodity to be used up as we wish, or as a gift from God to be cared for and cherished? How do we treat and relate to God's creation is a barometer of what we value and even of our worship. We may or may not be able to halt climate change. But as Christians, we do not have the option to be indifferent or to close our eyes and ears to the reality in front of us. Let us pray. Lord, it's easy to despair when we see the reality of climate change, but help us to be good stewards of your good creation and to do what we can with the agency that we have in our lives, so that we can look future generations in the face and say that we tried to be good stewards of your creation at this point in our history. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to move on to celebrate Holy Communion. So if you haven't got any bread and wine and you want to join in this part, press pause and come back and join us. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in, from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine. Become like the least, be found at the feast, gather us in. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and to want to love him more. So come if you have much faith, and if you have little, if you have been here often, and if you have not been for a long time, if you have tried to follow, and if you have failed, come. Not because it's I who invite you, it is our Lord, it is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Let's listen now to the story. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so also. Loving God, with gratitude, with praise, with hearts lifted high, with voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we had lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Lord God, as we come to share the riches of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty. The ground and the rootless, the earth and its weary people cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal your church in every brokenness. Amen. Among friends, Jesus gathered round the table. Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you." Take your bread and share it with each other. Jody, body of Christ, broken for you.
Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you.
Amen. And later he took the cup of wine and said, "This is a new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." So take the wine and share it and drink it and remember all that Christ has done for you and be thankful. Judy, blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our life into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on and take us with you. Amen. As we are gathered around this table, it's good to remember others within our church family and the wider world. So we bring some prayers of intercession to the Lord. Lord, it's more difficult to pray online because we can't name people specifically, but you know who are on our hearts and minds at the moment. Lord, we think and remember of any we know who are tested positive for COVID or recovering from that, that you will strengthen them and help them through this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we think of those within our church family who are thinking about and preparing for baptism in the near future. We pray that you would be with them, give them wisdom, strengthen and uphold them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we think of those that we know in our church family and in our family and circle of friends who are suffering physically or mentally at this time. We remember them before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our church family. We had our first face-to-face church meeting last week for over a year and a half. And we pray for future elections in the spring for new deacons. We pray that you would lead and guide people to take up those roles and those posts. And we pray for everyone within our church family. Help us all to play our part in serving you and other people in the service of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. and a moment's quiet and silence, and bring our own needs to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the COP26 conference starting in Glasgow at the end of this month. We pray for the preparations for that conference. We pray for our own government as they host it. We pray for all the political leaders and countries and nations who will be attending. We pray that they'll be able to come to some agreements and promises that can stem the tide of the rising temperatures and make possible a future for your creation for future generations. Help us to play our part through prayer and through action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the fuel shortage in our country at the moment and the lack of HGV drivers and how to respond to that. We pray for the government and the decisions that they make in responding to this situation at the moment. And we pray for ourselves that we would be wise and not panic. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the family of Sarah Everard after the trial. We pray that you would bring your healing and peace to them. And we pray for a rebuilding of trust between the police and the wider community after that devastating murder and the impact of that. We pray for safety for women as they walk the streets. And we pray for the police, those who do their job in good faith, that you would strengthen and uphold them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we offer you all these prayers, the prayers said out loud and the prayers whispered in the silence of our hearts. We join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'll close now with a blessing. Let justice roll down like a river. May righteousness flow like a never-ending stream. And may the joy of creation fill you anew as you pray, act and give for the restoration of creation and the flourishing of all people. In the name of the Creator, Son and Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.